Hello once again, listener, and I'm delighted to welcome you to another episode of the Lancet Gastroenterology and Hepatology Podcast in conversation with. I'm Hugh Thomas, the Deputy Editor. In today's episode, we're discussing a population-based study on the causes of death in patients with alcohol-related liver disease in Denmark. I'm delighted to have the corresponding author on the paper, Dr. Anna Emily Kahn, joining me today to take us through the study and its implications. She's affiliated to the section of gastroenterology and hepatology in the medical department at Zealand University Hospital in Denmark, and her research interests lie in alcohol-related liver disease and, more specifically, alcohol use behaviours and the treatment of alcohol use disorder. Dr. Kahn, thank you very much for joining us today and welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much for inviting me and selecting our paper for this conversation. It's truly an honour to be here.
You're very welcome. So let's start things off a little bit by taking quite a broad and general overview. What do we know about the global epidemiology and burden of alcohol-related liver disease?
Yeah, so together with obesity, alcohol is one of the most common causes of liver disease worldwide. And we know that at least 26 million people worldwide are diagnosed with the disease. So many as 500,000 die from alcohol-related liver disease each year. But these numbers may increase. Right now, we observe an increase in the burden of alcohol-related liver disease in some countries, such as England and the US. In the US, there has been an increase in mortality due to cirrhosis, which is actually driven by deaths among young individuals up to 34 years. Also in other countries such as China and India, we observe that the amount of alcohol intake actually has increased over the last decades. And you can say, why is that even a concern? I think, you see, alcohol-related liver disease has a high mortality and actually higher than for other etiologies of liver disease, such as obesity and autoimmune causes. And in Denmark, a strikingly one quarter of newly diagnosed patients will die within the first year, and also at a young age. So that is really concerning, I think. And lastly, I would also like to mention that there is an inequality in the survival of alcohol-related liver disease. And if the burden of alcohol-related liver disease increases, this will put the highest burden on individuals of low socioeconomic positions.
And we'll get onto the real technical details of your study in a minute. But before you began your work, What did we know or didn't we know about the causes of mortality in patients with alcohol-related liver disease?
Yeah, good question. The cause-specific mortality in alcohol-related liver disease has been investigated across countries to some extent. But what has been missing is a longer follow-up to look for the cause of death beyond 5 years. And also the cause of death hasn't been analyzed in detail before. For example, what is the 10-year risk of death due to cardiovascular disease and specific cancers? Why is this investigation important? For example, suppose liver disease is the leading cause of death in the first years after diagnosis. In that case, you can imagine that early detection of disease might be considered. So moreover, it could also be relevant to investigate cancer-specific mortality to cover some aspects of the necessity of cancer surveillance in alcohol-related liver disease. And previous studies have found a high liver-related mortality in individuals diagnosed with alcohol-related liver disease. But what causes death in patients with varying severity of the liver disease, that is less known. And in addition, the literature also lacked an investigation of the cause of death across subgroups, such as sex, age, severity of liver disease, and comorbidities, which could affect the mortality differently.
Sure. And so moving on to your study and getting into a bit of that detail then, your study is using data from a number of very high quality Danish registry sources to explore causes of death in those patients with a diagnosis of alcohol-related liver disease. I know a lot of researchers would look quite enviously on the data quality of those registries. Can you tell us a bit more about them and what were the key data that you collected and how you went about integrating that so that you could perform all of those analyses you did?
Just to start with, our study is a historical cohort study of just over 23,000 patients with first-time alcohol-related liver disease from 2002 to 2017 in Denmark. And patients were followed up for cause-specific mortality until 2019. And that leaves all patients with a minimum of 2 years of follow-up. And to do all this, we used, as you said, nationwide registries covering the Danish population. And in Denmark, the far majority of healthcare is tax-supported and for the entire population. And that makes the completeness of the registries high. In addition, all living individuals with permanent residence in Denmark are assigned a unique identifier number, which enables linkage between our registries. So we used the National Patient Registry, and from this, we identified all patients with incident alcohol-related liver disease corresponding to an ICD-10 code of K70. And the National Patient Registry records data on both somatic, psychiatric inpatients and outpatients. And the underlying cause of death, which is our primary outcome, you can say, was obtained from the cause of death registry. And the causes of death in this registry are recorded as underlying, immediate and contributory. And we use the underlying cause of death in our analysis, and we divided the cause of death into 11 groups.
And then thinking about how you analyze the data now, it's obviously very important to be very considerate about how you approach analyzing these sorts of registry data. How did you go about that, and what analyses did you end up doing?
Yeah, so as I just mentioned, so our primary outcome was the underlying cause of death. And we aimed to investigate this cause-specific mortality after a patient was diagnosed with the disease. And we followed patients from the time of their diagnosis with alcohol-related liver disease until death and censored survivors at immigration or at the end of follow-up. And our primary analysis was the competing risk analysis, which is particularly essential when investigating cause-specific mortality. And that is because it analyzes the probability of dying from a specific cause, accounting for death from any other cause than the one of interest. And we did this analysis for each cause of death, like for the group cause of death groups, and repeated the analysis on various subgroups to evaluate if the probability of dying from different causes of death differed for men and women, for younger and older individuals, for severity of liver disease, type of hospital care, and diabetes status. And in addition to all this, we follow patients for cancer-specific mortality as well, and divided into 9 different cancer groups, such as hepatocellular carcinoma, pancreatic cancer, and lung cancer.
And so what were the characteristics of the population that you enrolled for this historical cohort study? What did these patients look like?
So from 2002 to 2017, we identified just over 23,000 patients, as I already mentioned, with incident alcohol-related liver disease in Denmark. And the median age was 58 years, and 2/3 were men. And this is similar to previous studies in the same group of patients. And the severity of liver disease at the time of the diagnosis was also similar to previous studies, with the largest group of patients having compensated cirrhosis, covering half of patients. The majority were diagnosed at hospital, and every 10th patient had a comorbidity of diabetes. Patients were followed for more than 111,000 person years, and during this follow-up, 67% of all patients died, and nearly half died due to liver disease. The short and long-term mortality was high, with 12% dying in the first month, 26% in the first year, and 53% in the first 5 years.
And so then drilling down into the cause-specific mortality, the kind of the crux of your study, how did the risk of those different causes of death change over time?
Overall, we identified liver disease as the leading cause of death. And in the first 5 years after diagnosis, liver disease caused almost half of all deaths, with a five-year risk of 26%. And the high risk of death due to liver disease was similar for younger, middle-aged, and older patients, and independent of sex and diabetes status. And still, it was 3 times higher for those with decompensated cirrhosis than those with steatosis or unspecified liver disease. So beyond 5 years, causes other than liver disease combined became more common. And of these extrahepatic causes, cancer, cardiovascular disease, and alcohol use disorder were the most common. And alcohol use disorder could, for example, include intoxication and severe withdrawal seizures. And we showed that death from alcohol use disorder remained an issue even after many years of disease. And also, it contributed to death in many of the underlying causes. For example, in half of patients dying from an external cause of death. And then we examined the cancer-specific mortality and found a 10-year risk of 11%. Hepatocellular carcinoma was the leading cause of cancer death, followed by lung cancer, but no cancer had a 10-year mortality risk of more than 2.5%. And the 10-year risk of dying from hepatocellular carcinoma was slightly higher in decompensated cirrhosis, but still only 3.2%.
And so finally then, what implications do you think these findings are going to have for efforts to reduce the burden of alcohol use disorder and alcohol-related liver disease?
That is an excellent question, and with many potential answers. I would like to highlight that our study finds many preventable deaths from liver and alcohol-related diseases in patients with alcohol-related liver disease. And therefore, I think the biggest concern may be the patient's liver disease and possibly continued alcohol intake. So we could imagine that if patients were helped to abstain from consuming alcohol, many of the observed deaths would have been avoided. Previous observational data suggested that treatment of alcohol use disorder reduces the risk of decompensation and death. But unfortunately, in Denmark, as in many other countries, we do not have like a structured strategy for treating liver patients' alcohol use disorder in the healthcare system. And as a result of that, we do not systematically offer treatment for alcohol use disorder in newly diagnosed liver patients. And this treatment could, for instance, be motivational interviewing, behavioral therapy, or prescribing anti-craving drugs. And in addition, the treatment centers in Denmark are not a part of the hospital, but are managed by the municipality. So perhaps a closer connection between hospitals and treatment centers could improve the treatment of alcohol use disorder, especially because we actually have seen studies that have shown that, for example, fear of stigma can delay the patient's initiative to seek treatment. But this, is, of course, a speculation, right? And lastly, I would say that we found a better prognosis in patients with less severe alcohol-related liver disease and with fewer dying from liver disease. which could indicate a benefit from early detection of the liver disease. But still, to conclude this, we need more studies investigating the impact of screening for liver disease on long-term prognosis, I would say.
Wonderful. Dr. Cowan, thank you for leaving us with those really relevant and important thoughts summing up your paper, and indeed for touring us through the work on HOL. Thank you very much for your time.
You can read the paper on mortality causes in patients with alcohol-related liver disease online now at thelancet.com. Thank you to Dr. Cowan, and thank you for listening to this episode of the Lancet Gastroenterology and Hepatology Podcast, In Conversation With. Remember, you can subscribe to In Conversation With wherever you usually get your podcasts.